Hi, everybody. Peter Diamandis here, and welcome to Exponential Wisdom. I'm here with my dear friend, my coach, my partner, Dan Sullivan. Dan, I'd like to talk a couple things that have happened recently that might be of interest to our listeners. First off, last week on my other podcast, of course, this is so critically important to me, but I do have a podcast called Moonshots. And I had a 90-minute conversation with Elon, which was fun. He was in rare, super positive form. So that was a fun part of the conversation. But it was our New Year's conversation on abundance, because we're so constantly decimated by all the negative news in the world. It was like, you know, let's talk about the positive news in the world and how technology is taking things from scarcity to abundance and why you should be optimistic. So that was super fun. His conclusion at the end, if you haven't heard it, was it pays to be optimistic and you should have more kids. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Now, in general, are you optimistic about the future?
Oh, yeah, no, totally. Totally. But I'm optimistic, not in the sense that I think things are going to be clear sailing. My book predicts the period from 2020 to 2050. And the thing that's optimistic is that things look very, very bright for one country in particular, and that's the United States. And it has to do with its demographics and its geography. Mm-hmm. My person, I get his podcast about four times a week, and it's Peter Zion.
Yeah, we've discussed Peter before.
His last book, which is called The End of the World is Just the Beginning, I've read seven times cover to cover, and we know Peter. He's got a totally different take on the world that's based on what happened at the end of the Second World War with the Bretton Woods Agreement, which basically established the world order after the carnage of the Second World War. He's a very entertaining, very informative speaker, and he just gives you little insights into why things are moving forward or moving backwards in different countries in the world. And just because you brought up having a lot of babies, he said most of the developed world stopped having babies 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and even China, for the first time, is admitting is that they're losing population now.
Yep.
Okay. As a matter of fact, he only has six developed countries that he can predict that over the next 15 years, they will increase their population. One of them is France, for its own internal reasons. The other one is Sweden, and the other one is Argentina, of course, the United States, and New Zealand. And he says that's it. Everybody else is losing population.
And I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into this conversation, but a lot of the U.S. population increase is by illegal immigration and immigration, and it's not by reproduction.
Yeah. Yeah. We did a survey among strategic coach clients 3 years ago. And we had 2,500 in the program, and 2,000 answered the survey. So it was a good, very, very representative survey. And one of them was, how many children do you have? And the average was 3.5.
Well, that's pretty good.
Which is double the national average. Okay. And somebody said, well, why is that? And I said, lots of money and lots of free time.
Yeah. Mine is 2, at least that I know of. But I won't go there.
Well, that's above replacement.
Yeah, well, no, replacement's 2.1. You got to account for, you know, anyway. So one of the things that I'd love to chat about as well, and I talked about it on the Moonshots podcast with Elon, but is one of the reasons people are not having babies right now is that they're fearful of the future. Mm-hmm. And I've had this conversation so many times. You know, what is AI going to do? Is it going to destroy the world? And can I really bring children into the world knowing what's going on? Elon is relatively optimistic. You know, he gives us 80-20 shot, and that's fine. In fact, so this year, and we haven't really discussed this yet, what my lineup is for the Abundance 360 Summit, I'm doing the first 2 days of the program on the whole notion of the AI great debate. So we're going to be bringing to the table some of the top thinkers in AI, you know, both Jeffrey Hinton and Ray Kurzweil, who are the godfathers of AI, both from, you know, and the creators of neural nets. And so that's going to be fun. But I'm also bringing a gentleman to, you know, who Jeffrey has been very concerned. He notably, famously left Google because of his concerns. We'll bring a few other people, Mo Gadot, who also left on those concerns. And the question of how do you tilt the singularity of AI in favor of humanity? What can you do to make sure that we have a highest probability of success? It's not going to be 100%, but the highest probability. And then I have another person who goes on the web by the name of Beth Jezos. I don't know if you've seen him at all. He was honestly kept somewhat secretive, but he was running, his first name is Gil, and he was running quantum AI at Google. And he is what we might call an accelerationist. He's of the opinion that we have to move as fast as possible. So one of the things we're going to be doing at the summit this year, besides understanding which AI tech is most usable and how to use it and so forth, is we're going to be having that great debate on should we be slowing down or should we be accelerating and how do we handle this future. Do you have a thought or opinion there?
Yeah, well, of course, I'm not on the inside like you are with the major players who are doing it, but I am in touch with people who are entering the AI world who are entrepreneurs, and the vast majority of them are doing something. One of our clients, his name is Evan Ryan. He's about 29, and he's been into AI since he was like 18 years old. Okay, and pursuing AI. And he's written a wonderful little book called AI as Your Teammate.
Yes.
And now he's writing another book, which is called Exponential Tinkering. And the picture that I get from him, you know, he's working with all entrepreneurial companies and he's doing it worldwide. So he's got clients everywhere around the world. And he says, you know, the interesting thing is, you don't get a picture of how it's going to form in the center. I got talking to him about the beginning of the automobile industry, which really started in the 1880s in Germany with diesel. You know, that was the first automobiles were the diesel engines. And then, you know, you had big world events. You had the First World War. But the other thing was, because people had cars, you were starting to develop road systems that were paved road systems. And of course, petroleum had really made the infrastructure moves in. And so in 1910, 40% of the cars were electric. But by 1920, all the electric cars were gone and they were all gasoline for the most part. And he says that usually when something new is created, it's combining with some other major breakthroughs. There's a great book called The Cloud Revolution by Mark Mills. He's out of the Manhattan Institute in New York. And he says all technological breakthroughs are the combining of three major breakthroughs. And he says it's never one that's a breakthrough. He says it's always one that's combining with either two other that are existing or they happen simultaneously. So what I'm looking for is the threes. I'm just started writing the next book, which was called Everything is Created Backward. Okay. And I use Steve Jobs as an example with iTunes. Everything needed for iTunes already existed, but it hadn't been configured that way. And I think
call it convergence of exponentials. The book that really built our relationship first through Joe Polish, who we have to mention in every podcast, was Abundance. And I'm about two thirds of the way done with my follow on 12 years later now, which is called Age of Abundance. Elon's agreed to write the forward for it, which is super nice. And, you know, the topic of that conversation was, you know, if you look at everything we're doing, the fundamentals of the hierarchy of needs, food, energy, water, healthcare, education, governance, all of these things are increasing in accessibility and abundance around the world. And so, I mean, for me, having people understand that, I'll just mention real quick, because I told you I would do that. I'm going to have one of the heads of Google Cloud running AI, Mike Saylor, who is the CEO of MicroStrategy, the most outspoken Bitcoin maximalist, right? And one of the largest corporate owners of Bitcoin. And he'll be there talking about how cryptocurrencies, in particular Bitcoin, is reinventing, dematerializing, democratizing, and digitizing money. Mm-hmm. So Mike will be there. We'll be going into detail with him. On the flip side, I'll have Michael Milken there.
Yeah, I know Mike.
Yeah.
Michael's a force in small businesses getting investments that nobody else would give them the investments.
He's also a huge biotech and health tech fan.
Yeah.
He's been investing heavily. And so another person that you know who's going to come spend the day with us in the evening is Dean Kamen.
Yeah, and Dean's a wonderful person.
Yeah.
I mean, every year he's training 1 million robotics experts for the future.
For sure. And so, you know, the question I have, because I see the world through an abundance mindset, an exponential mindset, you know, a moonshot mindset, is where are we not? By the way, abundance doesn't only mean an abundance of good things. There's an abundance of opportunity for dystopian things too. We have to be clear about that.
Yeah.
I just think that I see entrepreneurs as people who find and solve problems. And so the more entrepreneurs, the more problems being solved. And hopefully there are more good people solving problems than bad people causing problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're aligned on the vision. I mean, to a certain extent, I think it has a lot to do with genetics. And I've done some studies that they say that it's built into your genes, or probably, you know, the genes that come along with environment, but genes are very important. And apparently 25% are born with a gene that predisposes them towards worry. Huh. And 25% are born with a gene that predisposes them towards opportunity. You know, and I think it was unequally distributed in my family. I'm one of seven. And I've always been the optimistic one in the family. Even when I was going through bad times, I was optimistic. I've had two bankruptcies. I had a divorce and bankruptcy on the same day. And on that day, I was optimistic, you know. I just got two bad report cards. So you have to change your behavior. That's the only impact. You know, I had to change who I hung around with. It had to change with upping my value creation capability. But I think that people who buy into a general narrative, my feeling is that there's more and more of a divide between utopian and dystopian. There's a very famous psychologist by the name of Martin Seligman, who's 86, and I had a Zoom call with him.
The young man.
Yeah, 86, and he just discovered AI. And he says, this is like I'm starting all over again.
Yeah.
I'm starting AI. And he's been teaching at the University of Pennsylvania for 59 years, and they can't get rid of him because every class he plans, it's practical psychology. He teaches and his classes fill up, and they can't fire him because he's doing better than gender studies. And he said that the difference between an optimist and a pessimist is that an optimist sees failure as an anomaly.
Interesting.
And a pessimist sees success as an anomaly. Yeah, it looks good, but it's going downhill. And the optimist said, yep. You know, the optimist throwing horse manure up in the air. And they said, why are you throwing the horse manure up in the air? He says, I figured if there was manure, there had to be a pony here. You know, I'm looking for the pony. The pessimist looking for the manure.
I just published a book called Longevity, a Practical Playbook.
It's a wonderful book.
Thank you, pal.
How can I order them? Because I've got a lot
on
of
Amazon. Just go to Amazon and look under Diamandis and Longevity. And I wrote it in a way that was super practical, right? I wanted to have it be 100 pages, turn 120 pages, but it's like specifically on food, diet, exercise, supplements, meds, digital, you know, diagnostic uploads. But anyway, I have a section on mindset, and one of the studies done just blew me away. And I should have the numbers memorized, but it was like, I think 16,000 women and like 1,500 men were in the study. And those who were optimistic lived 15% longer than pessimists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the power of mindset. And, you know, I tell in that book the story you told me about John Adams, about our founding fathers living to the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, right? The will to live, to be able to will yourself to live to 156 years.
Yeah, Jefferson and Adams both died on the 4th of July, 1826. Adams, 3 hours before Jefferson, and Adams' last words were, "Jefferson still lives."
Yes.
And he died 3 hours later. But one thing about the founders is that they were very young. A lot of them were in their 20s, you know, 20s and 30s when they started. But I think the big thing is what kept them alive is they knew they were part of something really big,
yeah.
Something really uniquely big.
And I quote you in that book a number of times, my friend, just because of your brilliance. And it's, you know, making your future bigger than your past. Yeah. That is such...
I think that's the crucial factor.
Yeah. Anyone who doesn't truly grok and understand how amazing the world is today and is going to be tomorrow. Are we going to have hardships? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do we have the ability to live in the most extraordinary time ever in human history? 1,000%.
Yeah.
And, you know, making dreams come true. And I wrote a blog today about what the automagical future is going to be like, right? You're going to live into a future where, and we'll talk about this at the Abundance Summit, where AI is embedded into everything.
Yeah.
And the world is happening for you constantly, mm-hmm. right? What's showing on the TV screen, the temperature of the room you're in, the food that's being ordered, the things are coming. Yeah. All of that is, you know, going from your mind to materialization, and it's here, right?
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, it's very interesting because you and I, you know, we're on our own path through Maxwell Clinic in Nashville, but we have a direct connection to a lab clinic in Argentina in Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. And this doctor who's going through FDA approval process right now in the United States, he can take your, you know, your fat cells and your white blood cells, and through a process, he returns it to a universal cell. It's basically taking a plastic. I got a lot of plastic in the room of me, and you can return the plastic back to oil and repurpose the oil in a different direction. So far, he's targeted my left knee to grow a new cartilage, and I had prostate cancer 2016, and there was a lot of nerve cutting down there, and he's repairing all the nerve damage in, you know, my lower stomach and then my brain cells and my vascular system. And I get tested frequently in a different ways, and both the knee and the brain, I can see a huge jump in performance. After
and these are your own stem cells, revitalized?
Yeah, my own stem cells.
And does he do post-extraction processing of the stem cells to rejuvenate them?
Well, he targets the stem cells, and I understand this, you know, I have probably an informed layman's understanding of this, but he said the stem cells that are injected wake up the other stem cells where they go. So he can target brain, he can target, so far I've had vascular system, and the two that I mentioned, the knee and the lower stomach nerve cells, and he can target them. And they go only where he wants them to go. Specific, he does kidneys, he does bladders. While we're there, we're watching six paraplegics who, from the time they come in to 12 months later, they can walk.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he's connected with Wake Forest. He's at the big center in Wake Forest. So he teaches there. His last name is Movilia, Movigliia, Gustavo Movilia. And he's a marvelous person. I'll see him, Richard Rossi, who you know.
Yes.
Richard Rossi has a mastermind group called Da Vinci 50. We go three times a year. It's about 3 days. And Dr. Movilia was there last January, and I talked to him about my knee. And he said, "Oh, knees are really simple." He says, "Orthopedic stuff's really simple." He says, "I don't mean it doesn't require a lot of work." He says, "I mean, it's really different from the immune system. It's really different from the cognitive system." But we've been there twice when we saw a musician from New York who had a spinal stroke, and he was just instantly paralyzed from his waist down. And we saw him with the help of therapists move a walker up and down. And then we saw him 6 weeks later. So we were going five times over a 6 month period. And he could do the walker all by himself. The nerves had come back.
Are you feeling the difference?
Yeah. Energetically, I certainly feel it.
Yeah.
The brain scans, especially the brain scans, show a big jump in concentration. And what I should say, not being distracted. You know, I'm like a lot of coach clients and like yourself, I have a million squirrels as friends, you know, who do fashion shows and everything else. And I've just noticed that I'm not being distracted. Now, I don't do social media at all, which eliminates a lot of it. And I haven't watched television in 5.5 years, any television. Gave me a lot of time back, but it reduces the amount of distractions during the day.
Right now, as you all know, majority of all the stem cell therapeutics are done outside the U.S. Fountain, our headquarters facility in Orlando, we're standing up in this quarter under FDA guidance, stem cell support at our Fountain Center. So,
yeah, I was talking about things come in three, and I think the big three that happened with stem cells was these Dr. Yamanaka himself. And then the other thing was the application of AI to testing. Okay, and how long beforehand, you know, the question is how far ahead do you want to know about your bad news? Okay.
Yeah.
I have team members who say, you know, all that stuff you find out, I wouldn't want to know that. And I said, don't you worry, you will. I said, I just want you to know, it's a question of when you know it.
Yep.
And I have to tell you, the real serious stuff is not covered by the healthcare system. It's not covered by Blue Cross. So the whole question is, do you have a future bigger than your past, that knowing this stuff right now is important for your longevity?
So I'm going to wrap this session up in the following summary. Or in the year 2024, I think this feels like the future. The next 5 years is when we transition to AGI and then digital superintelligence. We're also going to see incredible breakthroughs on longevity. Well, I know you set a goal at 156, which is awesome. My goal is getting to longevity escape velocity versus a specific number, right? And I think we're going to get there in the next 10, 20 years. And we're going to see humanoid robots. I'm going to have a number of humanoid robot companies at the Abundance Summit and some of the flying car companies and lots of AI companies. And I think entrepreneurs today need to immerse themselves. This is the stuff that's going to transform every aspect of our lives and hopefully give you that optimistic mindset, which as a dividend gives you 15% more lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Well, for a lot of people, that wouldn't be a good thing because they've been declining for, I mean, if it was possible, it would be 15 years more of decline and pain and suffering. So there are 15% more. The thing is, do you have a reason to stay healthy?
Yeah. That is true. If you're in pain, if you have no energy, if you're socially isolated, if you don't care about the future, the last thing you want to do is live longer.
Yeah, you have no novelty.
Yeah, no novelty.
You have no applause.
And don't worry, we've got two brain-computer interface companies coming. You know, one of the individuals who's doing all the surgery for Elon's company to put the brain implants in. I mean, you're going to have plenty of novelty. You're going to be living and playing in a video game. And, you know, Ray talked about this by 2033, having high bandwidth brain-computer interface. I don't know. I just think it's going to be an amazing, amazing life ahead. Buddy, I have my XPRIZE board meeting, speaking of amazing lives ahead. I love you and good to see you. Be well.
Thank you, Peter.